Today on another compelling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Halloween is a time of tricks and treats, but what happens when a local haunted attraction turns out to be more than just a treat for residents? Is this location truly haunted by something sinister and dark? Possibly even something from the depths of hell? That's the question we ask today on a Harper-rific episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, if you like the show, support us. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, everything there. All of it's commercial free. You can binge away on it. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, quite literally. And that's not like a slogan we made up or anything. It literally is. So check that out. Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. Well, and how are you?
Telling by the intro today, this should be a fun episode.
Yeah, yeah. Are you talking because it was Harper-rific, according to Robert? Or are you talking about Halloween and the tricks and treats and that sort of thing?
No, I'm talking about, like, how didn't it mention, like, a theme park?
Yes, it's a local attraction. That has some things in it. I saw some pictures online today because I follow a ton of different abandoned groups where people do. And this is funny because I've always been into that stuff. And it was like 10, 15 years ago when suddenly people realized, oh, there's other people just like us that are just so fascinated by these things. But it was a theme attraction, like town. Its theme was Ghost Town. And that's what made these pictures so haunting. Because when it was open, it was supposed to be a ghost mining town. And it really wasn't, but that was its theme. And it was rides and stuff, and it was in the mountains in Colorado. And now it's a ghost town because it's abandoned. And it's just sitting there, and you know, see the paint peeling and everything. And it was like, that to me is just some of the coolest stuff. You know, some people go out into to nature and go on hikes to go find waterfalls and amazing rock formations and views. I go to find abandoned crap.
Yeah, like the Moonshiner's Cave that we
went
to.
Yes, we
that
did.
That was terrifying.
Okay, so we went to the Moonshiner's Cave, and you can watch this on a new episode of Dad, Daughter, and the Dead on our YouTube channel or on our website or wherever you want to find it. And or on our social media. And this was a location that it's out in the middle of the woods in Arkansas here. And you get down to it and it's kind of hidden when you finally do find it. You get down to it and it's into this cave in the side of a cliff is a bricked off wall. And this is where there was moonshiners that would make moonshine down there. It was a great hiding place for that day and time.
Yeah.
But it has, I guess, a lot of negative energy to it. And that's our experience there was not the only only person I've heard that said they got a lot of weird vibes there and really didn't like it. I didn't get anything. I just thought, but I don't really pick up on that stuff very much. But we got down there. Our mics died. All of them. There's three mics, and every single one, they're all battery operated now, and they all of them died. So we didn't get the audio of what we were doing down there and talking about.
Suspicious.
But we got the video, and we had some weird responses on the little obelisk type thing.
Can I just go ahead and name them?
Yeah. What did it say? I don't remember.
So it said run. The first one.
Yes, you're right. When we got in there, it was the first thing it said.
Run.
It's like, can you tell us anything about this place? Run. Like, okay.
It's like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
So what else did it say?
Now this was at the end, but it said exorcist support.
It did say exorcist. It's an exorcist supporter.
Yeah.
Is what it said. And I like, well, that's an interesting one to say.
Just like, please. It's a moonshine cave, not it. Well, now I know why it's called Devil's Den.
There's so much history that could have happened down there and did happen down there that you just don't know about. And it really just kind of makes you, you know, wonder. And there's probably a lot of dark stuff that happened down there. So it's probably kind of, and there's water and it's limestone and it's
all the things that scream ghosts. Limestone, ghosts.
And energy and just kind of holding it.
One of the most haunted hotels, which is in Eureka Springs, known as the Crescent Hotel, is actually built off of limestone.
Yeah, I think it's built with limestone, too.
Yes, that's one of the biggest reasons why it's haunted. Because ghosts, well, either they come from limestone or they are attached to limestone.
All ghosts are attached to limestone? You have to have limestone to have a ghost? Is it like a secret ingredient?
No.
Okay, it's one of those common things.
Yes, in most cases, in so many cases of ghost stories, it's either like a house is by water, like really close to a lake, or it's built off of limestone or has limestone near it, or it's on a mountain of limestone.
Mm-hmm.
So almost like half of the ghost stories that like I see off of TV or just generally know about.
And the other one that's really big that is way overused is Indian burial ground.
Yes. Like, yes.
And it might be on an Indian burial ground. Here's the funny part about that. If you're in North America and you're in, you know, pretty much any populated place, chances are there were Native Americans that once lived where you're putting your condo. There's a lot of burial grounds like everywhere. And it wasn't always like set in like, this is, this is the graveyard in terms of how we think of it. There's people buried everywhere. And I think it's just kind of funny that we said like, well, if it was down in the records over the last 100 years, like there can't be any. It's like,
well, you're stupid then.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in an area that didn't have any of that or anything, that would be different. But I mean, it was very, very, very spread out throughout the country. So just interesting when you hear about
that. Hey, want to hear something?
What?
Backyard. There's a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Full river. We're near water.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostly activity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people buried all over here, too. I mean, we've even been told by our neighbor that when they were building their house back there,
we've had motion lights go off when no one was there.
And they said, you might want to, build the house over there. Why? Because that one family is buried right over there. It's like, oh. So it's, it's, and I think we are shocked when we hear this, but
really not.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Bodies. They're everywhere you want to be. You remember Visa? That was the Visa. It's everywhere you want to be. It was like the 90s Visa thing. Okay, let's go to our first story. So it's been quite some time since I've written in, so I figured I'd share a little bit about the current situation at my workplace. The haunted attraction I'm currently working with, Interim, is a Terra Haunt House, which translates from Latin to hell on earth, was previously a slaughterhouse and tobacco warehouse. I don't know exactly how old the building is, but I've been told it's close to 50 to 60 years old. The building itself is a very strange energy in certain places, primarily where demonic elements are featured. I have no fear of these kinds of things, and I find that most of the time, a simple "I don't want to play right now" is all I have to do to make it work. The show is centered around hell and features very satanic and disturbing elements. There are many demonic signals, emblems painted throughout the attraction. We feature passages from the Satanic Bible. Not the most active building ever, which I can feel is going to change, but there are several entities present. I keep seeing a particular shadow figure. Tends to appear at the ends of hallways or thresholds of doors, always from a distance. I haven't had a close-up encounter with it. It's a simple shadow figure. All black, no features. Doesn't seem to be malicious, but of course I'm always cautious. I first saw it during my first week of working there. I was on my way to retrieve some tools, and to do so I had to use a certain hallway, a long hallway designed for emergency access. That hallway is lit, and there are no random strange shadows to be cast off. I was also wearing a headlamp that was on at the time. I also look down the hallway, and I see a black humanoid shape standing motionless at the opposite end. It was roughly 6 feet tall, slender in build, and black like a void. There seemed to be a strange glimmer emanating from its edges, which I believe to be a visual manifestation of the energy it possessed. It made no moves toward me, nor did it flee upon being spotted. I stood for a moment trying to rationalize what I was seeing. The staff on the site typically wear black clothing in a dark environment. It can be easily hard to make a visual mistake. Being this entity blocked out nearby light, I can't find any other explanation. Being a seasoned investigator, I began to approach, at which point it moved sideways, out of sight, into a smaller scene in the attraction. I didn't see it again for the rest of the day, and it wasn't until a week later that I saw it again. Another incident occurred 2 weeks ago. A co-worker, and the owner were standing at the top of the outside staircase discussing concepts. We'd all heard something getting dragged across the floor a few rooms over. It sounded like one of our ladders moving around. It was enough to catch our attention and turn our focus to where the sound came from. The floors are solid concrete, and anything that gets dragged across them makes a heck of a noise. Certainly a strange event, considering we were the only three in the building. We all heard the same thing. I'll leave you with this event. There's an entity present that I believe is a child spirit. I'm always cautious of entities portraying children because that is a common tactic used by demonic entities as a lure. However, it seems very playful in nature, and it tends to gravitate towards my girlfriend when she's there. I believe it's due to her exceptionally kind and motherly personality. She's mentioned to me several occasions of being poked on her shoulders and the back of her head when she's sitting down, having her sleeves and shirt tails tugged on, her water bottles constantly ending up in different locations than where she originally put them. It's quite the strange place to work, but I enjoy it. I have no fear of whatever inhabits the building. I've dealt with worse. Hoping to secure an overnight investigation to try and establish contact. With the most extreme caution, of course. I'm glad to see the show is doing well, and I wish you all the best in your future endeavors. I'll write in more as time goes on. Take care and keep up the good work.
You know how he said that how children are usually used as like a disguise for demonic stuff?
Yeah.
Now, what does that remind you of?
What are you pointing at?
The Amityville Attic.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just in the movie. What was in the attic.
Seriously.
What was in the attic was Jody. You're talking about Jody?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so there was a, the story goes that George was out, I believe it was Christmas Eve, going to check the boathouse because it was unlocked. George kept being woken up at 3:15, which was apparently the time that the murders took place. He was out there, looked up at the house, looked at the daughter's room, and saw what he believed to look like was a form of a pig. With glowing red eyes looking out his daughter's
a
window.
Pig?
A pig. Jody was a pig. That's why when we were getting pigs a long time ago, I wanted to name one Jody. I was overruled at the time. But I guess that's a reason to get another pig right there. If we like get a pig and name it Jody, walk it around at Halloween. I don't know.
Yes!
I did not have good luck with the last pigs, so
please,
I'm not...
Please, can we just get another pig? They lasted for so long, please.
No, they didn't. They should have lived much longer than they did. I don't know what was wrong. I don't think I was a good pig farmer. I don't know what I did wrong.
Let's just get another pig and name it Jody.
Well, I don't know. Not right now.
Yes.
This is where her head starts spinning around, and she starts talking in weird, weird, weird voices. Okay. See, she starts like speaking in tongues or something. I was just hoping you're gonna do like No Harper Only Zool, but you just went flat out like Oh my God, you're speaking in reverse Latin. It's great. Let's go to our next story. I have many ghost stories that have happened to me over the years. I'll make it short so they'll fit on your podcast. First one started when I was 7 years old. We lived in a border town, El Paso, and lived off the border in a cul-de-sac at the time. My brother and I had our own room, and I had a waterbed. My mom used to scratch our backs to make us go to sleep. Well, it'd been a while, and I still felt her scratching my back. I said, "Mom, you can go to bed now." I heard no response, but still felt scratching. Turned around and had one of those mirror closets that opened and closed, and I saw not my mom, but a pale girl the same age, wearing a white lace dress, blonde hair, and the same time, we gasped. She flew into the closet door and closed. And then I saw her fly up to this corner shelf that was built above the doorway where I kept my dolls. My mom remembers me running to her and saying, "I saw a little girl." But that's all she remembers. Nothing happened after that. We moved to Houston, Texas for 4 years and ended up coming back to El Paso when I was around 12. We lived with my grandparents in a house that they built, and I had a hard time sleeping in the house. At the time, my friend and I had made our own Ouija board out of a cardboard and a quarter, which I do not condone the use of any type of board. Now, after that, I started to have sleep paralysis. I wouldn't sleep for days or eat. I finally shook it off, and one day I was brushing my teeth in the bathroom. I should mention here that I currently live in the house with my own kids. Now, as an adult, this will be used later. My grandfather had the mirror set up so you had one in front of you, and to the right you mounted on the wall. I was brushing my teeth. I saw a swoosh like someone had run to the back rooms. The way the house is built, from the living room, there's a long stretch of hallway to the said bathroom, and from there, there are two back bedrooms that ends the back of the house. This is important. Well, I saw the swoosh. I heard giggling from multiple children, and not just playful giggling. No. They insert into movies for kids type playing giggling. My brother and I were the only kids at the time at the house. The others were adults. I looked outside the RR door and called out for my brother. No answer. I looked out the back rooms and both doors were closed. There's no way for anyone to pass me without me seeing back to the front of the house, and I would have heard the doors close. I called again but heard nothing. Went to the kitchen to ask my parents if anyone had gone to the back. And they looked at me like I was crazy because everyone was and I had, or Anne had been in the kitchen. And the brother, of course, was asleep. I'll end this with another story that happened to me. Recently, in the beginning of the year, I was in the same bathroom. Now, the mirrors have been taken down, and my grandmother, who sadly passed in 2019 from Alzheimer's, is no longer here, and my grandfather has moved out as well. At this certain time, it was just me and my three young children. One is 9, one is 3, the one is 9 months at the time. I was in the RR and was pulling my pants up and have a habit of facing the door because of what happened to me while I was younger. I looked away for a split second and saw the same swoosh, with no giggling this time, and called out for my oldest son, who answered from the back room, which is mine and my husband's, and the other is the kids' room. I heard his voice from their room. Kept standing there because once I call them, they usually come to where I am, but he kept answering, "Yes, Mom, yes, Mom, Mom." I said, "Come here," and was silent. I walked out super quick to the front room because I was so scared out of my mind to go to the back and saw all my kids in the living room. I asked my son if he heard them calling me, and he told me he didn't hear anything. I asked if he went to the back, and he said no. And he'd been with his little sister, 3-year-old, trying to distract her. I went to the back room and it was deathly quiet. I yelled out loud that whatever was there was not welcome and had to leave immediately. It hasn't happened since. Another instance before the RR incident happened was on Thanksgiving. I was saying bye to my grandpa and his new girlfriend who had stopped by to eat. The front room has a huge window that looks out to the driveway, and at the time had a long sectional couch in front of the window. As I was saying bye to Grandpa, I caught a glimpse of what looked like my grandmother in her early 20s, around the time she was married to my grandpa, sitting on the sectional with her hand to her chin with this longing look. She didn't turn to me or look anywhere else. As soon as I saw her, I immediately did a double take, and she was gone. Her and I were close. She took care of me while I was a baby, and I took care of her as her disease got worse. I have more stories, but I think this was enough for today. I appreciate your podcast. Hope to share more with you soon.
Waterbed.
What about the waterbed?
The Conjuring.
Was there a waterbed in The Conjuring?
Yes, the new movie.
Oh, I don't remember the waterbed part.
How?
I don't know. Because when you get old, you start forgetting things. Let me tell you how it is when you're old, young child.
It's
when you're little, like, your mind is like always recording. And then as you get older, it's like a bad VHS tape that's been taped over too many times and you don't even understand what I'm talking about. And it just kind of gets grainy and not everything is quite as clear and crisp as the first time you use that tape. Because the more you use a tape, the more muddy it gets.
Yes, but remember when you watched the new Conjuring movie?
Are we talking the original Conjuring or which one are we talking
the
about?
New one.
The new one. Okay. I do. I remember parts of it. This is the one that was in England, right?
I don't.
Is that the one that's I don't remember.
It's the one with the kid. It's right before the kid gets.
Oh, is this the goat one? With the guy, the dad.
What?
I don't know.
It's the newest Conjuring.
Okay. I don't remember all. I remember watching it, but I don't remember all the details.
It's in the preview. Kid. The kid that gets possessed in the movie jumps onto the waterbed.
Okay.
And that's right before the kid gets fully possessed.
I don't think the waterbed had anything to do with it. Waterbeds are a work of art. They're lovely things that I don't understand why they would not have styled. I'm kidding. Have you ever seen a waterbed?
No.
Yeah. That is probably good. But it used to be a really popular thing. They were all over, I had two uncles who had waterbeds, and I just, like, every time I went and visited, my uncles at their house, like, can I sit on your waterbed? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. It's over there. And I was just amazed that this thing, like, it was like an ocean on a bed. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I always said, I want a waterbed. And then by the time I actually, grew up, they were no longer in style at all.
Could you even find one?
I don't know. I would imagine you could probably, like, special order one. So I'm sure there are people who do swear by them. So there's got to be a market for it somewhere. It's just, there used to be, like, there was a store called Big Sur Waterbeds, and all they sold was waterbeds. That's how popular they were. And then it's like, then they kind of started changing over to, like, I forgot what they are now. It was like, oh my gosh, waterbeds. I wonder if it'll ever come back.
I'd hope so.
Because there's, like, all the memory foam and the things, you could, like, get seasick on a waterbed. If, like, just because you moved, you got waves and it has to settle. And
that sounds actually kind of relaxing.
I wonder what a bed would be like if it's, if the filling was
water.
No, what's that that sand that you play with? Like the kinetic sand. Like kinetic sand where it's super, super fine and could, like, I don't know, something like that, but a little more
jiggly.
Yeah. So it's like a movable foam it's a movable something in there. Almost, okay, a great example. Like those stress balls that have stuff in them.
Yes.
A bed made out of that. Now, that would be interesting.
And, like, it's clear so you could, like, write stuff in it.
Just, it's, like, the stress ball bed.
Just, like, what's the pig's name again?
Jody.
Jody's coming.
Yeah, something like that. There we go. We just invented a whole new line of beds. Isn't that exciting?
Someone make it and send it to us, please.
855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
And, welcome to part two of our...
I pressed the wrong button. I'm just trying to get this loaded over here. Stand by. There it is right here, I think.
Do, do, do,
okay.
Do.
Computer fun. I love the music. Thank you for that. Hi.
Hey, Tony, Carol, Todd, Harper. This is Lexis from Bellingham, Washington. I think I called in about 4 stories or so. Been a while since I've been on. Anyways, I do have a spirit board story. I have only used one once, and I will probably never use it again because I actually had a very good experience with it. So, won't ever use it again because I know I got lucky. But just wanted to share. I use a spirit board, I want to say it's nearing a year ago, with one of my best friends. She's kind of a witch, and her sister is also very much into that stuff. So I was hanging out with the both of them, and I told them that I'd never tried it, but I was always interested in doing so just because I've always had a fear of them, and I don't want to have a fear of the spirit board. I want to have respect for it. So she said, she basically asked me, if I promise to keep you safe, will you try it? And I said, yeah, I would be down. And so the three of us, we went to her room, pulled out the spirit board, and decided to give it a shot. I was a little nervous, but she is very, very smart with the way she does things. So before we started, she pulled out a bunch of crystals and some dragon's blood incense that she said would protect us. And she's been doing this for a long time, so I trusted her. And for about 3 minutes prior to us starting, she told me and her sister to close our eyes and go to the happiest place that we can think of, and to not lose focus on that, because it would set basically a good mood, good energy, and I thought that was a really good idea. So closed my eyes, thought of the happiest thing I could think of for 3 minutes. She, I guess, did some sort of prepping ritual. I'm not really sure. But when she told us that it was time, we opened her eyes. We put her fingers on the planchette, and she basically opened the board, and as soon as the board was opened, it was funny, we heard 3 distinct knocks on the wall near the ceiling next to where I was sitting, and we all kind of looked at each other, didn't want to acknowledge it, but it did happen. I looked at Jordan, and she was just like, yeah, they're here, and continued on. So it was a very comfortable feeling, luckily. It wasn't threatening. So we got started, and we came into contact with the spirit, and the name that we got was Zane. There was a last name, too, but I'm not going to share it. And we learned that he was 22 years old, and he died in 2002, and he was from Haiti. So we were asking a bunch of questions. We learned that the spirit, he was killed by, you know, from a hate crime because of his race. And he was bludgeoned to death by 2 people, and he did not know them. It was really sad. And at the end of it, we learned that he just wanted to be free. And the reason he was kept here was because his family was keeping him on Earth because of voodoo, because they wanted to remain in contact with him. So my friend told him that she would do a binding spell, which would basically allow him to depart and free him from the voodoo that was keeping him on Earth. So overall, it was a really good experience. I, like I said, learned to really respect the spirit board. And I don't think I'll do it again. Funny little thing was, after we finished up, we went to the living room and we were just talking about it. We were watching a TV show before I went home, and my friend's child had a little ball, like a rubber ball, sitting in the closet, and it rolled out of the closet on its own. It just kind of rolled out into the living room, and I was like, okay. And we all looked at each other again, and my friend was like, you're safe. Don't worry. If you want me to walk you to your car and kind of say something and make sure nothing follows you home, I can. And luckily I felt comfortable enough to not feel like that was needed. But I went home later that night and just felt nothing but peace, and it was a really good experience. Again, I don't think I'll ever try that again, because I got very lucky to have such a good experience, and I felt like we did maybe help a spirit, you know, find his peace. And it was very sad, but very fulfilling at the same time. So I wanted to share that. Wanted to hear your thoughts on it. I know you guys don't like spirit boards and you say stay away from them. So I agree. It was just something I felt I had to do to find a, you know, figure out a way to respect them and not fear them, because I feel like fear is what plays into the whole thing. And I do truly have a respect for them, and I really do think that there's a right and wrong way to do it. So now I'm aware, and my friend told me if anyone does it any other way to step out immediately and do not participate. So now I know. Anyways, love you guys. Let me know what you think. Bye.
I did not know that you could free a spirit from voodoo.
I can't say I've ever thought about it, quite honestly.
I can't say I've ever thought that you could even get a spirit in voodoo.
Well, I mean, I it's an interesting thought where, like, okay, I'm being stuck here. Can you help me? That's the first time where I've heard it, where it's not just show them the light, you know, or that. It's more so, I need you to do this for me on your side, and then you can help me get to point B with, like, clear direction.
Yeah.
Not just where's the light or show me. It was that was really interesting.
Yeah.
I know you and your little friends have been casting spells on the playground. You and your little coven.
No. No. Why? Why would we do that?
Well, I thought you started a coven.
Dad, I don't even know what that is.
It's like a group of witches. So you're not a witch?
I'm not a witch.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. Okay. You've been wearing the hat around the house a lot. You got red hair. You just kind of fit the profile. No, you really don't. You're like the sweetest child in the world. But good witches are usually some of the nicest people too. So there you go. I don't know. This is really funny.
Also, like, dragon's blood. I'm not sure how you get that.
Oh, that's on eBay. You just order some fresh dragon's blood. I'm kidding. No.
Give me a second.
It's from Charlie Sheen. No.
Okay.
No. What are you talking about, dragon's blood? Is that like, what about it?
It said it in the story.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
Dragon's blood.
She's trying to Google it now. See if Amazon, is it a Prime item to get some dragon's blood? Be careful. You're going to have to find some weird website or something.
No, I'm
or
on some Amazon. Sort of list.
Oh, Amazon. Okay.
Some smudge guides came up.
Okay, smudge guides. Okay.
But I did find dragon's blood.
Oh, really? Authentic?
Yes.
Wow, 100% dragon's blood.
Wow.
I thought they took this stuff off the market a long time ago.
I didn't even know it existed.
Well, they slayed the last dragon back in 87.
Really?
Yeah. It cool. was taking over a small island south of Panama.
Speaking of dragons, want to hear something funny?
What?
So,
I'm not even sure if you knew that the last thing I said was completely made up.
I know that's made up. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on to the story. So during science today, it was talking about, like, people are thinking about making dragon chickens. Well, not dragon chickens, but dinosaur chickens.
Well, the T-Rex is the closest, don't pull on that cord, please, is the closest living relative to, or a chicken is the closest really living relative to a T-Rex.
Yes, because...
like DNA-wise.
Today is, the thing was talking about, like, breeding, and I don't know how you can breed a chicken
to
look like a dinosaur.
It would be something where the DNA of a living chicken... or something of the sort would be mixed with I believe this is how it would be somehow with the DNA that's been extracted from dinosaurs.
Yes,
and somehow I don't know how they do this, but they're talking about ways of using that DNA, then probably kind of making a hybrid thing with something that is alive to create this new thing. Watch it be like just this. It's Jurassic Park.
Welcome.
Because you know what? It's 2022. And, you know, we've done everything else the last 2 years.
Foxes are friendly in Russia. Guess what? Let's bring in dinosaurs into the mix. What's next? A unicorn?
That'd be cool.
No, it wouldn't, Dad!
You wouldn't want a unicorn? Come on. I mean, if somebody started selling real unicorns, every little girl in the world would want one. It'd be like Teslas. But a unicorn.
Unicorn stock market.
Yeah. So
the unicorn coin.
I mean, why not? Anything is possible. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP. An extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help keep us on the air. Get access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It also goes to help me get some more cold medicine. All right. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.